Well, we got our own in-house David Letterman at our church, and we just need a Max Weinberg to do the drums, and maybe a Paul Schaefer for the organ or something. Thanks, Marcus, for leading our time. Thanks, praise team, for leading our time in praise. What a joyful opportunity, just experience to praise and worship God together. We're just so thankful for each one of you. We thank God for you, and we thank you for sacrificing this weekend, carving out your schedule to come and minister to us and allow us to minister to you. It is our privilege this weekend to humbly wash your feet with the water of God's word. And please pray for us. We have been praying for you for weeks and months, especially the pastors and elders have devoted our time to prayerfully prepare this retreat and prepare these messages. And I personally prayed for you that God would do just a great work in your hearts, all for his glory, that Christ's bride here at Cornerstone would faithfully radiate his glory to one another and to this world, and that we would all see what a wonderful, awesome, beautiful God that we serve. Just a brief note about what is Life in the Father's House. If this is your first Life in the Father's House retreat, would you please stand? I want to formally just welcome you, acknowledge you, and thank you for coming. If this is your first Life in the Father's House, please stand. Please stand. Great. Michelle, you didn't stand up. Michelle Tan, just sisters here, and yay. So she's got some cohort pictures of Jeff going through his awkward years in junior high. So please check up on her afterwards, and let me know too. I want to see those pictures as well. But welcome to our Life in the Father's House retreat. And if we can serve you in any way, please let us know. All of us here at Cornerstone Bible Church, we're your servants. We welcome you with our hearts and our hands, and we would love to get to know you throughout this retreat. So please grant us that opportunity. Now, I'm personally curious. If you've been to every single Life in the Father's House retreat, going back to 1990, Bob, come on, help me here. 99. But didn't we have one before we planted? Did we not? Camp Zephaniah? We did, right? Like 96, I don't know. Life in someone else's house. It really was someone else's house. That was the rat story. There's a little rat that invaded our place. And, you know, I have allergies. So dry air makes my allergies, you know, get really bad. So I put warm water in the bathtub to kind of humidify the air in our room. And we're sleeping, and I hear something fall into our bathtub. Middle of the night, I walk into the bathroom with this little mouse swimming in our bathtub. I'm like, seriously, I don't want to wake her up. I'm like, oh, man. So I felt a little bad for that mouse. I threw a little cardboard piece of paper, a little life raft to cling on to. But it was barely hanging on there. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to go to sleep. So I'm laying down in bed, and I'm like thinking about that mouse. Like, pity and compassion overwhelmed me. So I got up, and I got a big trash basket, and I got it, you know, in that basket. I dumped it outside, and there's a rat family out there somewhere in Mammoth Mountains that owes its dear life to me. But so if you were at that retreat and you've been to every Life in the Father's House since then, please stand up. We want to see who you are. Let's see. Stand, please. These are the brave souls that have endured five Life in the Father's House retreats and have kept coming back for more. What are these Life in the Father's House retreats? I love our retreats. I love our retreats where we gather together for 3 nights and 4 days to feast on God's Word and enjoy the fellowship of believers. I mean, it is so sweet, isn't it? We are saved by the common faith. We worship our common God. We come to the same meal and we fellowship together. It is a little taste of heaven. And I love our retreats. But I love our Life in the Father's House retreats doubly so, because it is a time where we gather as a family of believers and we don't have any outsider speakers come in. It's all in-house speakers. So it allows us to preach not just from the text, but preach from our hearts. Because for us, Cornerstone is not just a ministry, it's not just a church, it's our family. So it's not like cooking a meal for strangers, but it's cooking a meal for our own family members. So in the preparation, a little more care goes into it and a little more personal attention because we know who we are feeding. So we know your appetites and we know what you need. We know the care and shepherding that we all need as a body of believers. So we can minister not just on a theological level, but we can minister on the life level. That's where the laleo ministry of Titus 2, right? Speak the things that accord with sound doctrine. We are to preach sound doctrine, caruso, herald God's word and proclaim the truth. But we're also called the shepherds to laleo ministry, to talk to you, speak to you, not just proclaim God's word, but proclaim the things, the life, the decisions, the behaviors, the conduct that fits right doctrine. And we can do that because we are your pastors, we are your shepherds and leaders, and we know you intimately, and we can have that family time together at the retreat. And it's a joyful time because we can minister freely from our hearts. We have no one to impress. You know, we have other guest speakers come. You know, I'm trying to be on my best behavior. You know, I want to act, and I want everyone to be on their best behavior. Don't embarrass our church, and don't embarrass me, right? Especially if you have professors from TMS coming. Please don't embarrass me. But with us, no one to embarrass. We're all just embarrassed together, and that's fine. So it's a sweet time, real heartfelt time, a time where we can just kind of slow down from our hectic pace of life and pause and hear God's word, minister to one another, and have a lot of time in prayer. We want to do that at this retreat. We really want to meet God together. We really want to pursue Christ together and not just be satisfied with hearing sermons and fellowshipping with Christians and singing songs. We ought not be satisfied. We are God's children. God wants to bless us. God wants to meet with us, visit us, be here with us. He delights in us. He loves us. And so we ought not be satisfied with crumbs that fall from the table. We want to sit with the King. He invites us and dine with Him. So if only we would call upon the Lord in that manner, call upon Him with that conviction and that zeal, God promises us, He is our Abba Father, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans and inexpressible words. We call upon Him, He will respond immeasurably beyond our comprehension. He will bless us. So with that corporate hearts, with that zealous hearts, let us pursue our Father this retreat. Now for tonight, I'm not giving a message. I'm the setter, you know, in volleyball tonight. I'm the point guard, right? I'm Derek Fisher. Yeah, a little bitter about that, you know. I want you to know I played Joe Peel one-on-one basketball this week. I'm 39 years old, 38, almost 39. Joe Peel is what, 12, 15? It's immutable, unchanging. One of the better basketball players in our church. But, man, I took him to the court one-on-one, and I beat him 11-7, right? All for the older guys, right? But then he was wearing slippers, so. But hey, I still beat him. Who cares? He had sandals on. I didn't care. I took him to court, and when I tell my children that story, I'm not gonna tell the story about the slippers. I'll just say at age 38, I beat Joe Pio. And so I'll see when you're 38, Ethan's like, you know, your age, and I'll say, Ethan, don't wear slippers. Put your best shoes on. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, tonight I'm point guard. I'm setting up for the retreat. I'm not giving a full sermon. You know, we're here. We want to sing. We want to fellowship. Many of you came from a full day of work, fighting through traffic. So I just want to set this time, give an overview of our theme for the retreat, one another's. Why are we addressing this biblical theme of one another's? Short background into my love for the church, how I came to love Christ's bride.
I was forced to go to church all my life ever since we came to the States. You know, third, fourth grade, I was forced to go to church, and I hated the church. I hated sermons. I hated singing. You know, we had like three songs in our repertoire, right? Two Korean songs and one Amazing Grace every Sunday. Right? I've got Peace Like a River in Korean. You know, how much peace can you have? But it was, that's all we had. And the sermons were just boring and dry and long. And I would just read that bulletin and memorize it. I'd go home and recite the bulletin from memory from start to finish. I hated going to church. I remember in high school, I had a youth pastor. And he was this guy, short guy, bowl haircut. You know, only cool thing about him was he played the guitar. But he had thick rimmed glasses, very bad Korean accent. I remember thinking, this is your job? You do this for a living? You're a youth pastor? Honestly, my thought was, what a loser, right? You're such a loser. 5 years later, I became the youth pastor of that church. No bowl haircut, right? No thick rimmed glasses, but you know, God's, you know, humor there. I ended up being the youth pastor. Very same church, very same building, very same pulpit. Had no love for the church. God saved me through a parachurch, through a campus ministry. And what they taught and what I believed was that campus ministry was for true Christians, true disciples. Churches were for nominal Christians. Churches were for those Christians who couldn't really hack it, who didn't really trust God and believe God, weren't serious about their Christianity. They were for those nominal people. They're just Christians in name. True believers were all about campus ministry, evangelism, missions. So I had this low view of the church most of my early Christian years. It wasn't until I went to, you know, the master's seminary and heard the professors there and heard Pastor MacArthur proclaim their love for the church. And I was taken aback. What a novel idea. I love the church, right? Wow, love Christians. Wow, I never entered my mind. Like, love the church. And something resonated within me. I just sensed that. Like, viscerally, my God, that was right, that was true. And yet I was pulled in both ways. I was still part of the campus ministry and part of the local church here at, and previously at Cypress Baptist Church. In that campus ministry, exciting things were going on. We were launching efforts on both sides of the coast of this country. We were sending missionaries to foreign countries. And I met with the vice president of the ministry, and he said, James, you know, They had me at one of the youngest speakers of a national conference, JAMA conference in Colorado. I think I was like 22, 23 years old, and I was one of the seminar speakers. He said, James, we want to back you up, make you national staff, and have you minister all over the states. And we want to support you, but you gotta open your doctrine. You're getting too narrow because of TMS, and we want you to commit fully and let go of your church. And he said these words to me, you know, you're going to give your life for 30 people. Back then, at Cypress Baptist, the college ministry, young adults, like 30 people. You're gonna give your life for 30 people, right? You know, with us, you can, quote unquote, make a name for yourself. That's literally what he was saying. And that was a difficult time in our church history. I remember I was talking to Bob at that time, and Bob was just got an offer to go to Belgium, right, to go and start a business franchise. So some kind of business effort there, and he was uncertain about his future. Several of our key members were considering leaving in our church. I'm not going to mention their names, but, you know, I won't mention them. I don't want to embarrass them, right? Ask me later, I'll tell you, right? And just a real transition time. I remember, like, in the church, there was no one looking out for me, looking out for caring for me at all. We're about to get married, certain night, we're telling each other, like, man, we have no one looking out for us. Like, we're on our own. Like, we gotta, like, look out for ourselves, and real difficult spot to be in. But, you know, God used, like, his people. God used many of the members that stood up earlier. They committed to our church. They committed to the church. Even I even committed to the church. Pastor John Cole came, and his first sermon was Loving the Church. And that was so powerful. And so God gave me grace at that time to understand God's heart. God's heart is for his bride. That in the Old Testament, God worked through prophets in the nation of Israel. But now his program is the local church. The early church, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, the believers in Jerusalem. That article, the, tells us that they were not committed to the active fellowship. They were committed to the fellowship, the koinonia, the church. And that is the heart that all of us are to follow after, emulate in our lives, have a common love for Christ's church. God, give me the grace to understand that salvation is individual, but sanctification is corporate. It's communal. It's not a personal relationship with Christ. That's wrong. That's a cliche that is repeated so often in our Christian community, Christian culture, but that is unbiblical. Salvation, you have a personal salvation, but you don't have a personal relationship. You have a corporate relationship with Christ. Individual salvation, we're saved individually. But salvation is individual, but sanctification is corporate. It's communal. It's not Jesus and I. It's Jesus and us. And the New Testament bears that out. So over the years, I can tell you with a clear conscience that I love Cornerstone more than the Lakers, right? I do, right? I love Cornerstone more than basketball, right? More than Korean barbecue. I love Cornerstone Bible Church, right? Beyond my family, kidding aside, there's no church, right? Nothing I love more than the body of believers here. But after 10 years, we realized I didn't think through the whole thing, you know? And that's my fault. It's the humbling thing about ministry is you see your weaknesses all over the place. You produce yourself. So I see my weaknesses here, and I realize, wow, like we didn't fully reform our understanding of the local church. Just committing to the church is not enough. I think we have, like Marcus said, we love the church. We're committed to the local church. We want to be radically devoted to Christ's body here at Cornerstone. But, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I'm like, let's run. Where are we going to run? I don't know, but let's go, right? Let's just go and we'll figure it out there. I'm not a detail guy, and I realize I didn't fill out the gaps. Just radical commitment to the church is not enough. And for the first 10 years, and that's what we were working on, committing to the church for the next 10 years, we need to commit to how to commit to the church, which is practicing the one another's, right? It's not go through membership. It's not radically commit to come early on church and Sunday and stay late. It's not like be faithful to come to the retreats or, you know, all the ministry. Everybody's serving. Everybody's going to flock. Those are really just the exteriors. It's good. It's not bad. But God wants so much more from us than just coming to church. If we just come to retreat, that's great. You know, I'm not minimizing that at all. But if all you did was come to retreat, sit there and listen to sermons, we didn't fulfill what God wants, desires of us in the church. It's not what we commit to. What are we supposed to do? Now that we're in the church, how am I supposed to behave? How am I supposed to act? What should I do now? Am I supposed to just minister? Am I called to serve? Should I teach or preach? No, the Bible, we find, it's clear that what we're called to do is practice the one another's found in the New Testament. It is estimated that 44% of the letters of the New Testament is all about how we should get along with one another. Almost 50% is all about our relationships, how we are to relate to one another. Right? Only 4% is about spiritual gifts. 44% is about friendships as Christians. It's a clear emphasis. The Greek word allelon, one another, occurs 59 times in the Bible as a specific command. Right? 59 times. And this one another is not separate from worship. It is a core essential aspect of our worship of God. Remember that lawyer who came to Christ in Matthew 22? And he said, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said, simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. instead of divorcing these two activities, our Lord connected them, and they're intrinsically the same. Loving God means loving people. And loving people is loving God. They're not two separate entities. They're one and the same. It's a marriage of loving God and loving people. When you do that, you are a worshiper of God. And this is how we demonstrate our love for God. God has so loved us through His Son Jesus Christ's death on the cross. How do we love God? How do we demonstrate, express our gratitude, our thanksgiving, our devotion, our loyalty? How do we do that? It's by loving fellow Christians. 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God, knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must love one another. And 1 John is all about that. You say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar, you're still in darkness. That is what God has called us to do. And yet, we want to avoid that. I'd rather just preach. You'd rather just do service ministry or just be here and just smile, say nice words and go into your rooms. And you don't want to get messy with relationships because it's hard. Right? Relationships are so difficult. Without people, church would be great, right? Without people, ministry would be easy. It's people that make it so difficult. I know I am hard to love, right? Let me tell you the truth. You're hard to love too, right? Some of you are so hard to love. Man, it's so like, that's why I need a sabbatical. No, it's like, old joke, I just, you know. But it's kind of true, right? We all need a sabbatical for one another because just people, we're such sinners, we're all so selfish, we're all so prideful, and it's hard to bear not just each other's burdens, but bear with one another, right? This past Olympics, my wife and I are watching the weightlifting event, and man, it was so thrilling, right? We saw the women do snatch and clean and jerk, and you know, wow, I was like, humbling to see women stronger than you. You know, it's like, I know I can't lift that. Right? Good for her that she can lift that. The men, the super heavyweight came on. And this Russian guy, Evgeny, man, that guy was a stud. This guy was, he was ripped. He was tight. All the other guys kind of out of shape. He's a weightlifter. He's got a gut like coming out of here and we're barely lifting. Evgeny was like, just whole body was, it was like tight and he was lifting like crazy. And he had the gold medal in hand. Only one other guy. And he had to almost break his own personal best to win a gold medal. Matthias Steiner. Right? And Sue and I are watching. And we're kind of rooting for this guy from Germany. And he lifted this weight. Right? Like 545, 550 pounds. Right? He cleaned it and he jerked it and he kept it there. Remember there's one guy. It was too heavy and he broke his arm. I don't know if you know those pictures. Right? I mean, that's like... But he kept it there. He got 3 green lights and he won the gold. He was crying. And then the commentator was telling us why he was crying, because he lost his wife a year ago in a car accident. And in the gold medal ceremony, well, you know, you guys know he was carrying had a picture of his wife, gold medal. He was saying he was lifting it for her. Right? So that, you see his heart. Why was he lifting? He was able to lift that, do his personal best, because of his love for his wife and his wife's love for him. And that's why we are to bear each other's burdens. And we are to do the hard work of loving one another. Because we're mindful of Christ's love for us. And our love for Christ. On our own strength and our own love, man, we can't do this. We can't do one another. Are you crazy? Why should I have my own problems. You have your own problems. You have your own burdens. Why should you bother with other people? Why should you pray for others? Why should you love others? Why should you care for others? It's too heavy. It's not worth it. Right? I've got my own life issues. But we're mindful of Christ and His love for us and our love for Him. And that motivation centered on the gospel causes us, right, to go beyond our personal best. lift that heavy weight of one another, fellow Christians saved by grace, and all their idiosyncrasies, all their quirks, all their pride and selfishness, all their mess. You get dirty, you get messy because of that relationship, but you bear up under it with joy because you're prompted by love of Christ and love for Christ. This is our first and foremost ministry, right? Our foremost ministry is people. People, they're not a means to an end. Only end that they're a means to is the glory of God. But people are not a means to any earthly end. In terms of the horizontal aspect, people are the end. We don't use people, right? We do all things, right? In the horizontal aspect where they are the end and where we serve and love and care and minister and help each believer. That's ministry. So everything we do, whether it's set up or clean up or pebbles or music or you're leading or teaching, it's about one another. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about one another. So we have in your booklet, in your packet, not an exhaustive list, not 59, but most of the major one another is found in the scriptures. So I want to just take you on a helicopter ride and just go through it, right? From that helicopter perspective, read all these one another so that you know the comprehensive expectations that God has for us in our relationships in the church. And then I'll review the five messages that we have prepared for you and the five specific one another's that we'll go through in our sessions together. Open your packet. The first one, the topic is love one another. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 13:8, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. 4:9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be united with one another. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. 14:13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. 12:25, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. Philippians 4:2, I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:8, finally all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Teach one another, Romans 15:14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Ephesians 5:18-19, do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another every day as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, encourage one another with these words. 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. 10:24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as the day drawing near. Respect and honor one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Pray for one another. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Serve one another. John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Galatians 5:13. You are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:1-2, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Be humble toward one another. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. 1 Peter 5:5-7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yours, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Greet and welcome one another. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. 11:33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then follow a few of the negative prohibitions toward one another. Galatians 5:15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. 5:26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We are not to do these things. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. James 4:11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 5:9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. We pray that our life in the Father's House 5 will be a launching point for the next 10 years. For all of us to live in these verses. For all of us to understand that the worship of God cannot bypass the love of one another. That the command given to the church is clear. That we love Christ by loving Christians. We pray that this retreat, God will do a special work in each of our hearts. And God will grant us to understand the gift Christ Church is to each and every one of us. And it's not enough for us just to be committed to its events or activities or ministries. We must be personally invested in one another and in practicing the one another's to fellow believers. Close our time with just a few applications. All the members of Cornerstone, reach out to those who are new to our church, those who are new to our retreat. God welcomed us when we were strangers. He loved us. God opened His heart to us, adopted us into His family, treated us like a member of His own. He adopted us. God's command to us is we are to love and welcome strangers. Welcome those whom we do not know. So that is incumbent upon us. If you've been here for a while, it is your turn not to just receive ministry, but to give yourselves to people. So welcome strangers. Go up to them. Run to them. Love them in Christ. Just pour out Christ's love toward them. And may Christ's love shine through you to those who are new in our midst. Let's get rid of this distinctions that the world puts on us. Right? In Christ, there's no Jew, Gentile, slave or free, male, female, right? Scythian. No, none of these labels apply. We are Christians. Let's not fellowship according to these earthly labels. As we fellowship in Christ with absolute purity, older men, younger men, older women, younger women. Let us break out of this labels of married and children and singles and collegians and youth. Let us love Christians. If you are a Christian, we are to practice one another's. For those of us who are serving, don't hide behind your service. Don't hide behind your ministry. Remember, our ministry is people. Right? So I'm not about excellence. You guys know that about me, right? I don't really care about my grammar, my preaching, you know, my homiletics, my style, and how, you know, I don't care, you know, a lot, because I understand it's not my excellence of my, you know, grammar that's gonna like minister to you. I hope not. It discourages you. Let me know, right? But so same thing with us. It's not about excellence in ministry. It's not about perfection. It's about people. Don't hide behind your tasks and not talk to people, not relate to people. May your ministry, may your service be the vehicle through which you build relationships and practice the one another's. And then finally, let us rally around each message. Right, each preacher this weekend didn't just devote their minds to prepare their sermons. No, they bled a little bit in their hearts. Right? They gave themselves a little bit. They sacrificed for producing the spiritual meal. Right? Let's give our hearts to them, not just our minds. Let's open our hearts and say, here is God's man preaching God's word, and I'm God's person, so my life belongs to God. Whatever He says, I'm going to do. Right? Whatever He preaches, I'm going to put my life, put my heart on the line. I'm going to follow. I'm going to ask God, give me faith, give me courage to not just understand, but to apply each message that comes from God's choice servant. Right? Let's have that heart. Right? tomorrow morning, Pastor Peter will be giving a sermon on encourage one another. How do you know if a person needs encouragement? He's breathing. Right? He's alive. Everybody needs encouragement. It's the most practical sermon for our church. Right? So we are either encouraging each other or discouraging each other. By your life right now, by your attitude, by your countenance, right? By your decisions, you are either encouraging or discouraging. And God tells us we are to encourage one another. Right? Tomorrow night, Pastor Dan will be teaching us on the healing power of one another's. How as we practice one another's, it heals Christians. It ministers to Christians. And as we pray for one another, God answers that prayer. Right? So we want to kind of do some targeting here of various groups in our church. I believe the whole retreat is targeted for different people in different ways. For those of you that are new to our church, and some of you are very wide-eyed. I mean, you, praise God, you love Cornerstone. You thank God for Cornerstone. You think a world of Cornerstone, and that's good. But know that we will disappoint you, right? Trust me, we will disappoint you. We will hurt you. And you think, no, that's never going to happen. We will, right? We will. So you might think this sermon is not, these teachings are not applicable, but store it away, right? Take notes, put it away in a safe place. And when that day comes, when you're hindered by the church and you're hurt by Christians, take that sermon out and review it. Right? It'd be applicable for you then. Right? Others of you have been hurt by the church. Maybe Cornerstone Bible Church or another church. And you come and you lost heart. And your eyes are glossed over. You don't believe anymore. You're just cynical. Right? You're calloused. You don't want to give your heart to another church because you just don't want to get hurt again. Sermon's for you. May God do a great work. Or you understand you're not trusting in people. You're not trusting in an organization. You're trusting in God who established it and who is the Lord of it. May God do a great healing work in your heart. You've been so hurt. May God heal you, restore you, and cause you to believe again because of Him and because of His gospel message. Another group at our church, you've been to all five of our Life in the Father's House retreat. You've been here since the beginning. You've been here for many years. And so you're kind of jaded, kind of disillusioned, right? You're a little tired. And maybe you've lost your first love for Christ Church, lost your first love for Cornerstone. And you don't get excited as you used to or you ought. Your heart's not full of joy because you've been around the block a few times and you understand. This is a sermon for you. These sermons are for you. Right, may God do a great work where God allows you to reclaim that first love. Not because Cornerstone's worth it, but because Christ of our church is worth it. That you would remember your salvation testimony. Where God saved you, and not just a singular Christian, but God saved you into His church. And you remember those early years, how you prayed for the church, how you loved the church, how you were invested in the church. And it wasn't just task, it wasn't your work, it was a labor of love. May you remember the height from which you had fallen, how you used to so be excited for the members, the leaders, the shepherds, the pastors, the elders of that church, and that love is diminished or it is gone. May God grant you through this weekend where God will restore that love for those of you who have been with us for a long time, where you will love us, you will love people again, love Christians again. Another group is for those of you who are struggling with shallow relationships, right? You just don't know how to relationships. You're uncomfortable with being vulnerable. You're uncomfortable with one another's. You know, you love themes, retreats on holiness, on dispensationalism, right? On covenant theology, how to argue. You love those retreats. Retreats on one another, you're uncomfortable because relationships are hard. You like people from a distance. May God grant you grace to understand that you're missing out, right, on a great means of God's grace. For you to receive ministry for your own sanctification, and also for you to be a means of grace to other people as well. May God grant you just much grace. You know, we studied Christ last week, how he was on his knees washing the feet of his disciples. Man, what beauty. What a beautiful picture. There is no fear of man in Christ. He's on his knees washing feet. And there is no selfishness there. He's serving sinners. I made that example. I empower us to deal a death blow to fear of man and destroy our pride and selfishness and do what Christ did. Right? Intimate relationship with one another. And then final group, there's some of you, just your greater relationships. Right? That's your strength. And so, you have spiritual pride. Right? You're involved in many lives, but no one's really involved in your life. No one knows your dirty laundry, your closet. You keep everyone at bay because you're so good. Just walk through the room talking to 10 people, and people think you're just the greatest minister with one another's. You have spiritual pride. You're isolated. You're hiding. May God do a great work in your heart, this retreat, where you pour yourself out and you confess your sins and you personally practice to one another's. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Pastor Marcus will be preaching on loving one another, right, from 1 Peter 2. Right, and that's the crux of it. We kept it for Sunday morning because we want all of us to be there and be alert, to understand this is a direct reflection of our lordship of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 2, and 3. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am nothing. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. And we know 1 Corinthians 13 is the context of all about one another's. It's about church life, right? If you do all these things, have all these powers, you have all these spiritual gifts, but you don't have love for fellow Christians, you're a noisy gong, you are nothing, and you gain nothing. And then Sunday night, Elder Bob will be preaching on humility. Right? I think our greatest need is the church. I hate my pride, and I hate the pride that's in our church. We're such a prideful church. We esteem all the wrong things, and we're so proud of ourselves, and we boast in ourselves. It's just in the air we breathe. We fight humility. We fight pride. We seek after humility, but we're so ingrained in it. Right? It's all around us. It's in us. It's pervasive in our midst. It is evidence just by our lack of prayer and our utter lack of practical dependence upon Christ. It is reflected in just how we relate to one another. I mean, we see the fruits of it everywhere. That tells us the root is still strong, the root of pride. Bob will be preaching on just humility, mortifying the sin of pride. And then Monday morning, we'll close out our time by looking at the result of all of us practicing one another's, and that is unity. Right? Unity in Christ is not possible apart from all of us, each one of us, practicing these one another's. It is a thing that we fear the most. disunity and division. This has the power to devastate and destroy our church. Christ promised that the gates of Hades will not overcome His church, but He didn't promise gates of Hades will not overcome Cornerstone Bible Church. He promised that He will hold and in perpetuity His church, universal, but not any local church. He told us in Revelation 2 and 3 that if we're lukewarm, if we're not obedient, if we've forsaken our first love, He will remove our golden lampstands. Right? He will take from us His shining witness. And what will cause that be for us to be disunited, for us to be divided. Let us open our hearts on Monday morning and close our time, endeavoring to practice to one another so that we might be united in Christ, all for His glory. So, taking up too much time as it is, we pray that God would greatly bless you, that our God would be greatly glorified by each of us because of His gospel, because of His cross, how He would turn to one another, would endeavor to practice all these one another's, all for His glory. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we're back to, I'm reminded of Matthias Steiner again, and how the love that he had for his wife and his wife's love for him compelled him to lift that weight and hold it, and how that parallels to us. We love each other not because we're lovable or we're deserving of love. We practice these one another is not because anyone deserves or is owed these things. Our hearts are moved because we see our sins nailed on the cross. We see the Lamb of God who took away our sins. And we're reminded of the Father's great love for us, that He would give His only begotten Son, His beloved Son, who was perfect and righteous, God without blemish. And in response, we love You, and because of our love for You, we pray You are moving us to not hold each other at a distance, not to avoid entangling relationships, but we would jump in, run to the line, and personally sacrifice, invest ourselves in relationships and friendships, and practicing these one another's, so that we would indeed be a church that would be faithfully reflecting Your glory, this lost and dying world, that we would be a pillar of the truth, holding out the gospel, snatching people from the fire, and our love for one another will warm their hearts, that the gospel would penetrate and save them. Lord, we commit this weekend to You, O God. We cry out to You as spiritual beggars, but You invite us in as Your children, and we ask, we beg of You, will You come and visit us? Will You be with us, O God, this weekend? We need Your help. We need Your power. We need Your strengthening. We need Your help, O God. Would You be with us through the Holy Spirit? Would You hear our prayers? And would You answer us? And, oh God, would You make us a more humble, more loving, more holy church that would please You? Pray in Jesus' name.